Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Deuce and Mo of the Deuce and Mo podcast. Conversation already in progress over on twitch.tv/ESPN1320, youtube.com/ESPN1320. We hope that you tune in there. Of course, if you're listening on the Odyssey app and on 1320 AM, we welcome you and we welcome Deuce and Mo to the podcast here. As the NBA offseason officially gets underway, we know you had Brandon Nunez on the show today, and he's been writing about Franz Wagner, and the Franz wagon is starting to fill up with Kings Herald writers. As Bryant West was texting about him, and where are you guys on the Franz wagon here? Do you got a place? Are you on board for this at number nine?
I'm not going to say I'm on the Franz wagon. What are you looking at me like that,
Mark? No, I just.
I mean, like, there, you go 6'9", 7 foot, one wingspan. I'm just, there's stuff you like. I just think. I like Moody better at this point. And I Franz has some things I like. I like that he plays with some passion and some edge. He could defend some multiple positions, they say. But when I watched him, nothing like popped to me. I think he could be a solid player.
I'm just on the fence with everyone. And I don't really care when I say that. And if anyone doesn't like that, I don't have an official opinion on anyone. And it's not because I'm scared to have an opinion on anyone. It's like... where the Kings are picking and the guys that keep getting thrown there, I just don't know. And I think my expectations started getting too high. I started being like, oh, it's going to be playoffs or bust next year. When
that's a good voice.
Shut up, Morgan. Thank you. And I'm going to tell myself, shut up, Morgan. Stop having these expectations all of a sudden. I need to lower them again. And yes, I know I was on here like last week talking about, hey, it is playoffs or bust. But no, I'm back to patience.
Oh, wow. What a heel turn.
We don't want that, Mo. No, we don't want that, Mo. It does need to be thought for bars. What y'all talking about? If layoffs aren't happening, somebody need to go.
What a
look, you gotta, it's De'Aaron's fifth year. You gotta push to the playoffs. But I think the larger point is the person you get at nine going to help you get to the playoffs? Is that person going
exactly.
to be a contributor? Because we did get spoiled a little bit with Tyrese Halliburton, right? Like, most rookies aren't just going to come in, especially when you take them like 12 like Sacramento did last year, mm-hmm. are not going to come in year one and be like, hey, this is like one of the best guys on the team. Where Tyrese, I think it's safe to say, is he the second best player on the team, right? Like,
I think so.
If you're not willing to say that, you like Barnes better, okay, whatever, he's one of your top three guys. I'm not sure you can count on that this season with who you draft at nine. Like, I think Moody can be a good player. You know, is he willing? Is he ready to step in and play 30 minutes a night in the NBA? I don't know.
And you guys, just really quick too, think about what the expectations for Kings fans are going to be, not only because they're like, it can't be 16 years, but because we got blessed with Tyrese Halliburton last year with the lowest of low expectations at 12, everyone's going to be like, oh, yeah, can't they just get lucky again at 9 and someone's going to come in and be like a Tyrese Halliburton? I'm like, no, that's not going to happen every year. And the track record of the Sacramento Kings isn't that good. So just hope that Monty McNair has it right.
Let's see, and that's where I'm not putting the two together. And I don't think you guys are either. I'm not saying we need to make the playoffs. Therefore, this draft pick needs to help us make the playoffs. I'm fully expecting, especially with a lot of these 19-year-old, these young guys in here, it's not going to be Tyrese Halliburton, like you said. He's not going to come in and play major minutes, close out games, things of that nature. It's going to be a project. So when I look at nine, and I look at Franz Wagner, Michigan guy. You know, I watch him. I love him. I think he's a good solid ball player. I think he's an NBA player. He's going to be in the NBA. But at nine, I'm trying to swing for the fences, and I'm going for a guy that has the potential, even if that potential is a 5% chance, a 7% chance, a 3% chance of possibly having a superstar career. And that, to me, is Moses Moody, Jalen Johnson, and Kai Jones.
You feel like Moses Moody's a swing, though? Like, I don't feel like that's a swing for the fences pick. I actually kind of think that's almost like a safe pick. It's like, yeah, he's going to be a good player in the league. He'll be solid.
Yeah, I think it's relatively safe, but he has a chance. He has a percentage chance of being more than that. Like I said, I got a guy that I talked to that's in the NBA that's real close. He told me weeks ago, he's like, yo, Moses Moody, I'm seeing like Bradley Beal, like for real Bradley Beal with him. And I listen to that, but I talk about Franz, and I know this is harsh. This is probably disrespectful. I'm not trying to disrespect the young man because I like him. You know, he's
it's your birthday. Player. You're allowed to disrespect people.
That's he's the got rules. A 0% chance of being a superstar. He ain't going to be no superstar in this league. So why are we taking him at 9? If you take him at 16, maybe. 9? Franz Wagner?
Well, it sounds like some of the reporting that he's got a promise from a team in the top 10. So I don't know. I found one
that said it was the Kings. That was Michigan underscore guy or something like that.
He was the person on the fan that was a promise, right?
Yeah, he was. Yep, he was. Yeah, he was the one who said it.
And I know, like, there was that, you know, athletic piece by Sam Vecenie was talking about, well, a source tells me the Kings are interested in, like, a defensive wing or forward. And I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, do you need a source to tell you that? Yeah. Like, I mean, breaking news, yes, the Kings need
great research there.
Some wing help, and they also need some defense on this roster. So, yeah, I just based on what I've seen, and again, I've said this multiple times, I'm not acting like I'm Mr. Draft Insider here. I watch a lot of NBA. I don't always have time to watch all these college guys. I can tell you I wasn't sitting down and watching a whole bunch of Moses Moody games throughout the college basketball season. But what I have seen, I like how he carries himself. He seems mature. We talked to Musselman the other day, his college head coach, who, of course, he's going to say nice things about him. But, like, the guy's like a film junkie. He's all about the hard work. He's business-like. And I just think he fills a need. He's long. He could shoot it. He could play defense. I think it checks a lot of boxes for Sacramento.
Couple of quick notes here. James Hamm just tweeted this out, and I believe the Kings have sent this out. There is a draft night party at the Golden One Center.
It's lit.
So just imagine 16,000 people in the arena with the ninth selection from the University of Michigan.
Contrary to what people may believe and may think, there will be a bunch of cheering going on when that draft pick is made.
Absolutely.
Because regardless of what y'all think out there that may be listening or listening to clips, they cheer every pick that comes through there, even ones they allegedly didn't want.
The only one that, like, is famous is when they drafted Peja and all the fans wanted John Wallace at the draft party, and they were booing the pick when Jeff Petrie announced it. So
maybe it's like a good, like, omen to boo whatever pick comes. Yeah, and boom, then
naturally, like, you know, whoever it is, the Kings draft Cade Cunningham, just boom.
Boo. I'm with you, Kenny. I'm with you.
Well, can I point out one other thing?
Yeah.
We have been so certain that the Kings are going to trade this pick. They're confident enough to hold a draft party at the Golden One Center on the night of the draft.
What better way to celebrate the arrival of Ben Simmons? You know what I mean? Like, hey, get everyone at the building, trade the pick.
Have Kenny Caraway introduce him. So, Morgan, I feel like Morgan kind of laid this out a second ago. Maybe she's adjusted her expectations, Deuce. What if the Kings do come up empty? I mean, I know we have fun with Kings have aggressively pursued Dame Lillard. Like, there's a note from The Athletic right now that the Blazers are rejecting CJ McCollum trades. Portland has turned down trade offers, including lottery picks in this year's draft for CJ McCollum. That seems insane to me. But regardless, like, what if they walk up? No Ben Simmons, no Dame Lillard, no Miles Turner, no A, B, C, D, E, F, or G. It's just the draft pick. And oh, by the way, they also lost Rashawn Holmes.
That would be devastating because, I mean, you look at the big man situation right now. Are you going to roll out there with Chimezie Metu and Damian Jones? You can like those guys. Hey, they're young and rotational pieces, maybe. But like if those guys are playing heavy minutes, or even if you did bring in like a Nerlens Noel as a replacement, I'm not of the opinion that Noel is – he's not, to me, a center that you play 30, 35 minutes a night. Like, he's a good big. Like, come off your bench and block some shots and do some nice things defensively. Spot start here and there, play 20 minutes, sure. But no, like – you got to be aggressive. And that's why, like, with the Dame stuff that came out, like, hey, the Kings were aggressively pursuing. Like, these are the conversations that have to be happening. I don't care how unrealistic it may be. Like, I want Monty McNair to pick up the phone and call about Dame. I want him to call about Siakam, hit up Washington. Hey, what's going on with Beal? When you're in this position, you got to make some moves and go for the splashes. And if he's the guy that was, you know, always pitching Daryl Morey on trades left and right, that's what I want.
You have to be aggressive. And we were just talking to former Sacramento Kings front office exec Anthony McClish. That will be coming out Monday. But talking to him just about the relationships that are built behind the scenes and how very important that is for when these GMs and these other execs go and have these conversations with the other teams, it just plays such a huge part. And I think we know that, but then really though, you know, you really talk about the Ben Simmons stuff and how Daryl Morey's there and Monty McNair's relationship with him. And you think, man, could that actually be real? I just don't know. I think sometimes we go, there's no way these things could happen. And guess what? I don't care what happens. Something needs to happen. Some aggressive move needs to happen. Even if it's just chatter, that's great, but it's got to be done.
Well, I mean, you go back to the Brooklyn trade with Harden, right? It was the Pacers, Rockets, and Nets involved in that deal. Indiana gets in the mix of that deal, and they land LeVert. Mm-hmm. Like, so even if the Kings aren't able to land, a Ben Simmons, or, you know, I know some people are mixed about that, but just name whatever player, can they facilitate something? Can they be a third team that's able to get a starting caliber player on their roster just by being that third team involved? Like, You can't just come. You can't just lose Rashawn Holmes for nothing, and then just come back with the same squad and say, "All right, let's roll the ball out and we'll see if we can get the play in. Hope Haliburton steps up in his year two, like goes to another level. Hopefully, Fox is an all star." That to me is just that's just unrealistic.
Now I will say this, because I agree with you guys said that would not be the ideal situation, right? But I also don't want them to do something just to do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, just like Rashawn Holmes, a perfect example. Like, man, we can't just lose him for nothing. We just lost Bogey for nothing. Let's just go do something crazy. Like, no, like, if it don't work out with him, it sucks that it didn't work out. His market went a little higher than you were anticipating. Didn't work out. Still make something sound for this organization, whether that's doing something or whether that's doing nothing, to make sure that you have financial flexibility, like he keeps talking about. Don't go making a trade or go signing somebody just to parade out there. Well, we lost Rashawn, but look, we got this guy. And it was a panic move. I think that's what they've done too much of lately.
They have. And Kenny, I'm with you. Don't just do things to do things, the panic moves, right? But at the same time, when it comes to certain situations or pieces or whatever it may be, it needs to be switching to aggressive moves. And, you know, you know what I mean? It's just, there's so many things done out of fear. Like, we don't want it to be year 16 of another losing season. Okay, well, make the smart, aggressive move. Don't just make a move out of fear and out of panicking. But in some ways, you should be fearing 16 years, and you need to be
doing something, because what you have right now is not working. And to go another year of not working, okay, the fans won't like it, whatever, but you have De'Aaron Fox in year five.
That's
and
my biggest concern. Like, yes. That's the number one, is the guy you just signed a max contract to a max contract, who is entering his fifth year, who has all-star potential, no doubt. All of a sudden, he is going, I don't know about this. You know, like, I've done this, you know, and it's not getting better. And if there's a coaching change, it's another head coach. There's just so much of that. You know what I mean? And so, like, that's why it's so vital. And I'm with you. It's this fine line, because I'm not about just getting into the playoffs. Like, okay, you get to the playoffs next year. Let's just play it out. Best case scenario, let's just say you get in, you win the play-in, whatever, you're in the playoffs and the streak. Okay, but if the next year you miss it, Kings fans aren't happy. Like, the sustained success has to be there. So it is that balance of, okay, you can't just be making a move to make a move to hope it. You know, it kind of reminds me of, like, when the year they got Rondo, Bellinelli, and Kufis. It was like, okay, there was a lot of activity, but, like, what were you chasing there? The best case scenario for that group was maybe they could get the eighth seed. Well, of course, they fell short, and then there was no winning after that. So, yeah, I'm with you. You have to be smart here, but yeah, be aggressive.
Yeah, absolutely.
We just watched the Phoenix Suns cap off a improbable run to the NBA Finals. By the way, you're listening to D'Lo and Casey and Deuce and Moe here on ESPN 1320 KIFM West Sacramento, KRXQ HD2 Sacramento and Odyssey Station, and driven by Lashers Elk Grove Dodge. You can watch along on Twitch, YouTube, of course. You can listen on the Odyssey app, and we welcome everybody listening on 1320 AM as well. We just saw the Phoenix Suns make an improbable run, given where they were last year, given where they've been for the last 10 years in the NBA Finals. And we saw Devin Booker on a big stage for the first time in his career, and we even saw Devin Booker in the NBA Finals dropping 40-point games. And it's like, yeah, that's kind of what Devin Booker has been. It's just a little bit different with everybody watching. It's a little bit different when he's doing the same things that he's been doing his entire career, but now they're winning with him doing it. Can you think of a player, and I don't think it's hyperbole to say, in the entire league that needs that stage more than De'Aaron Fox does?
Could you put Zion up there?
Not Zion. Yeah, sure, but not, Zion's got all of the eyes on him already.
Right.
I mean, at some point, I think people are more likely to look at New Orleans sideways before they look at Zion sideways. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like right now, De'Aaron is going to enter a stage, if this team doesn't get to the playoffs, where he's, and I always use this as an example, and I'm really sorry, but he's Kevin Martin. He's a really talented player, but he's really on a bad team. So if you put him on a good team, maybe he's not as good. Like, there are going to start being questions about De'Aaron Fox as opposed to questions about the Sacramento Kings.
I don't think that would be the case. I think most NBA people see his talent. And I think if they are able to succeed, I think they would pin that more on Sacramento and the last 15 years than on De'Aaron.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So, but I think to your point, yeah, I think De'Aaron could use that, number one, use that experience. The only other guy I could think of, Zion, I know what you're saying. I would say Cat, and I know he's been there once, but he did it with Jimmy Butler. Or Anthony Towns. Like, that's a guy that I struggle with all the time, because you see the numbers and you're like, it's eye popping, but I'm like, your team is bad every single year. Like, how good are you? So I think for his reputation, and the 1 year he did it, it was with Jimmy Butler, Thibodeau was there, that kind of led the charge. And then since then, there hasn't been anything. So I think that's the only other player that really comes to mind that, like, really could use it.
Yeah. This kind of goes into what we were talking about yesterday a little bit. And Giannis being in Milwaukee, and as I like to say, he put his arms around Milwaukee and said, I'm here. People are saying I need to leave. This is a small market. It's not going to work. He said, no, this is my city. I'm going to get this done. I want to get this done with my city. And I talk about De'Aaron Fox. I said Sacramento needs that type of person to say, this is my city. I think De'Aaron Fox is that guy. I think De'Aaron Fox and even Tyrese Haliburton to a smaller degree are those type of guys that are like, no, it's more important for me to try and figure this out here than to have a playoff run in Houston or, you know, in a bigger market like that. It means more to figure it out here. That's why I feel like, to your guys' point a little bit, yeah, you got to figure this out, and he needs the platform or whatever the case may be. But I think the Aaron's in this for the long haul. You know what I mean? I don't think it'll be a situation, for him at least, personally, where if they didn't make the playoffs next year, where he's like, man, I don't know, I might have to get out of here. I think he's in it for the long haul.
You could be right. You could be right too. I guess this stuff changes fast, right? Like 3 years ago, Dame is talking about he's never leaving Portland. It's his home. And now there's like, hey, looks like he wants to leave. So things can change quick in the NBA.
It's deflating, right?
Absolutely.
You know, just after you're putting in all this hard work, and then these people at the top aren't putting in the same work and or doing their job correctly to put you in the best position, to put you in the best system, especially when you are the best player, the city's hero, you know, like to a point. So I think it's totally human and normal for things to change, but I'm definitely with you. I think De'Aaron's like this family guy, loves the vibe of the Sacramento city and loves being here and everything. But there's also a lot of chatter out there that could help sway him different ways. There's a lot of people, you know, there's when you're in the NBA, and especially when you're that good, there's going to be a lot of different voices in your ears.
So, and to that point, you guys are 100% right. And to that point, one of the things that I talked about yesterday, me and Damian talked about, was I feel like one of the biggest things in Milwaukee, and it's a different thing because they had consistency and continuity while being eighth seed and getting bounced, or, you know, maybe getting to the second round. That's different than like never making the playoffs and being like, well, we're committed. We're still here. You know, we got continuity. It's a different vibe. I understand that. But I would feel like for somebody like De'Aaron Fox, just as frustrating as not making the playoffs would be, all right, another coaching change. Oh, another GM. Oh, you're going to stick me with more people. Like the constant change would be like, yo, it's crazy. I can't even get used to nothing in here. Get me out of here. And that was the argument to bring in a Luke Walton back. That would have been, if he would have fired Luke Walton, that would have been what, his third coach in 5 years? De'Aaron's third coach in 5 years? Can't have, like, that would be more grounds for me to be like, get me the hell out of here, as opposed to maybe this isn't perfect with Luke or Buddy or, you know, hell, even Marvin. But we're here, we're working on something together. There is an air, a feeling of we're trying to figure this out together. And I think that's kind of also what this organization needs. Some people think it's the wrong thing to stick with Luke Walton. I say, you got to find out a little bit more. Like, stick with something. They don't never stick with nothing, ever. That's the one consistent in 15 years. Nothing's ever the same here anymore.
I feel like this goes along with your thing of let's not make a move to make a move. Well, let's stick with something for the sake of sticking with something, and it's Luke Walton. Even if we don't think he's good, let's stick with it. Like, we're doing it for the sake of doing it.
So what do you do? So what do you do?
You hire a coach that's better.
You move. If I'm De'Aaron, I'm like, I don't know if this guy is better or not. If I'm De'Aaron, I'm like, another coach? Yeah. What the hell is going on here?
And it's like, too, a coach can't really get a feel for, well, some coaches can't get a feel for what they're trying to make their identity and what they want to make happen on the court right away.
In my opinion, that's the coach of the Kings. Those are my words, not Morgan. That's my opinion.
And Damien, but like, what coach out there, like today, if Doc Rivers was available, would you be like, Doc Rivers is the answer? He's going to be the guy that can get these pieces?
Well, see, that's the thing, though. Doc is a significantly better coach than Luke Walton, but Doc...
100%.
He would certainly hold the players more accountable. His vibe is that, like, he would bring in almost like a de facto defensive coordinator. I don't know that works here with this roster that they have.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You have a roster that actually most of the better players like Luke Walton and like his vibe. And I'm with you, though. Like, who cares if they like him, like, win some damn games, right?
But I think chemistry is important with the head coach. Okay. I do.
Okay. But, yeah, but also, it's a long season.
But also with that, we're probably not getting a guy like Doc Rivers. Rick Carlisle ain't coming here. So you're getting probably a first-year guy or a guy that just got fired, Steve Clifford. And then
no.
he's going to get here. And well, he didn't make the playoffs his first year, but he needs time to implement his style. That's a whole nother process. And we got to wish upon a star. Either way, I think you're wishing upon a star. I would like to wish upon a star with consistency.
Yeah.
And cohesion.
Well,
either way, you're wishing upon a star. You bring in the kings of
everything involving this organization is wishing on a star.
Well, I'm saying the kings, no pun intended, are the kings of bringing in a new coach. Like they bring in a new coach, like we trained your underwear. All right. That hasn't worked for 15 years. So bringing in another one, probably not going to work.
Yes.
This done.
Figure it out. That's what I'm at. Figure it out. I think Luke Walton has enough knowledge as a coach, has enough other coaching staff around him with a lot of knowledge, with a lot of relationships with other players around the league, like Rico Hines. There's some good people in this coaching staff. And I think Luke Walton's a very collaborative coach. So I think if you stick with this, it can go into a very positive direction. I think a lot of times too, people just want something to blame because it's not working. And we've seen his flaws as a coach, but at the same time, we've seen a lot of flaws with the personnel on the floor.
The biggest flaw, Deuce, I see you're about to say something. Go ahead.
No, I mean, this is like, I understand it. And like we've the last couple of years is like the first year is, hey man, that India trip really threw things off. You had injuries. And then like this year it was like, hey, the COVID year that not a lot of training camp, which is all legitimate, like things that can come up. But like, you know, like this year there's going to be a training camp now, right? Like this is the third year, right? You there has to be something. And I understand what you guys are saying, like consistency, like keep it together. You can't just keep swapping out coaches. But like at some point you have to see it go in this positive direction. Like you can't be the worst defensive team in like the history of the game based on advanced stats. Like those things can't happen. You can't lose 9 in a row twice in a season. Like
absolutely.
If it's going down that route, there's something wrong, and it doesn't matter who likes who, the players like him. That's not working.
I better see a defined identity in his third year.
Right. So like we can come up with all the stuff that happened in the past. It's like, well, this is it. I know you got a full training camp. I know that things should be, knock on wood, a little more normal in our world with like COVID restrictions and all that, hopefully. But this is it. This is important.
Do some more with us here on Dealing with KC. Morgan, you mentioned Kings got, you know, really fortunate landing Tyrese Haliburton in the draft. And De'Aaron Fox, obviously the Kings got very lucky landing De'Aaron Fox too. But one thing that I think we've gotten spoiled with, and I think you used that term earlier, we got spoiled with landing Tyrese Haliburton at number 12, thinking, oh, why can't we do that again? Well, De'Aaron took an incredible jump from his rookie year to his second year. And I wonder how many of us are looking at, like, well, we just saw De'Aaron do it, so that means Tyrese is going to do it, right? Because Tyrese is really good, so now he's going to be great, and now he's going to take all of these leaps, just like De'Aaron Fox did. And I think Tyrese is going to be better next year, but I worry that sometimes De'Aaron did spoil us in the tremendous, like Kenny and I joke all of the time, De'Aaron's got to take a step every year. Hey, what do the Kings got to do better? De'Aaron's got to take a step forward. How many steps does his career have? Because he's at the point now where he's no longer getting better in the off season. He's now getting better like in the middle of seasons, where he's taking jumps from the first half of the season to the second half of the season. What are your expectations for Tyrese next year?
I think because he's such a student of the game and a high IQ player that there will be some sort of leap, right? Like he'll be watching film to see, okay, these teams, what adjustments did they make later on the season with the way that I was jumping, leaving my feet to pass? You know, do I need to take a better jump stop? Just all those little things. I personally feel like Tyrese Haliburton will kind of figure out. Now, for a lot of casual fans out there, that might not be enough, right? Those little adjustments that he's making. They want to see the big adjustments in his shot making, the way that he's creating shots. And I can't imagine that we're going to see this huge leap from him in year two. But at the same time, I think he's going to be just as effective plus some, because
it isn't his rookie year. I think he's going to show the leap he's going to really make is really with his leadership role, right? Like now he's going to feel more comfortable to be more vocal and be that player that can talk and tell his teammates what they need to do.
Mm-hmm. And I want to see him deal with contact, get a little stronger. I don't need him to look like Giannis does now, but like, you know, add to the frame, which like, I feel like is just going to happen. We were talking about today on our podcast. You look at De'Aaron Fox's rookie year. I was looking at some highlights a couple of weeks back. De'Aaron was thin.
Stick.
And now, you know, Mark Jones is tweeting out that he's added 9 pounds of muscle this off season. He's already gotten bigger the last couple of years. I think you're going to naturally just see Halliburton get stronger too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think you got to be realistic too. We all expected to just be linear. It's like, okay, year two, you get better. Like it takes guys time. Like it may not be as big of a jump as people want. And I think what you said is dead on, Damian, is like year one, De'Aaron averages 11 points a game. I think we're all curious after year one, like, okay, how good could he be? Then year two, he jumps like 17. I don't know how realistic that is, but I do think Tyrese has the ability to do more scoring next year, be a little more selfish in some ways, get to the basket. And those are things I want to see.
Yeah, I'm one of the people that I'm expecting Tyrese to make a jump and get to another level. And that's more so not necessarily based on what De'Aaron did or whatever, but it's more so based on the fact that I believe in Tyrese Halliburton and the way he plays a game, his understanding of the game.
Yeah.
You talk about this upcoming season, he's going to be the one that's going to get a training camp. He's the one that's going to have a year under his belt. And with the knowledge that he has for the game and being able to pick things up as quick as he does, that's only going to improve his game. It's only going to improve his game. I think one of the things that I saw this year that I don't think is going backwards is his catch and shoot ability. I mean, I said it all the time, when he got those puppies set, that ball was wet. You know what I mean? And I don't think that's changing. And I think he'll understand and have a little more confidence in his role on this team to be more aggressive offensively, which is going to lead to higher points per game. So I'm expecting a leap. Like, I don't know if it's going to be De'Aaron from rookie year to second year type leap. I don't know about all that, but I absolutely expect Tyrese to be better than he was his rookie season.
Sounds like Kenny's over there thinking about the playoffs next year. He's over there.
Really thinking about the playoffs. Well, you guys know how I feel. All right. Yeah. I said.
Well, I know. You thought Corey Joseph was going to be the difference maker at one point. So, yeah, I mean, absolutely.
He's going to be the stop it. But I did say numerous times that if the Kings had the team that they finished out the season with for the whole year, they would have made the play-in. And I know this isn't how things are going to happen or should happen, but say worst case scenario, they brought the same exact team that ended the season back into next year. I think they'd make the play-in tournament this upcoming season.
Kenny, that's the danger. That's like what my fear is. You know, I remember that 05-06 team, the last team that made the playoffs, and they had that unbelievable finish after the Artest trade, made the eighth seed. I think they actually had like one of the best records in the NBA after the All-Star break. And I remember the next year, I was like, hey, it's the same team. We made a coaching change. It was time. This team's going to be good. It's going to be a really good team. They haven't made the playoffs since. I can't do the whole like, hey, man, I know Davis and, you know, Harkless, those guys, they fit in well. Can you imagine if everyone was healthy? I mean, they were winning with those guys. Imagine if they had Halliburton and Fox and Barnes. Mm. I mean, I feel like it's easy to say that. And I do like the moves that McNair made at the deadline. Yeah. But like they got to upgrade it, man, because your defense, even if even if the team was improved down the stretch of the season, it's just not good enough. No. You know what I mean? Like you've got to be better in that. And I think some of that is that's personnel. That's straight up. We got to get better defensive players.
I understand that. And I agree with that. They've got to get better. But take away the past scars that you may have and just look at what
it is. A lot of them.
Right, but this team, that's a decent business. De'Lon Wright, he's not changing. Like De'Lon Wright isn't going from, he's a career 10, 11 point per game scorer. He's not going to dip down to 5 a game. Mo Harkless is who he is. Metu, Damian Jones, I still got my questions about them. But that's the bench compared to the bench that you had before when you're bringing the Elitza, when you're bringing a Corey Joseph, who I think DeLon Wright is better than Corey Joseph. Like they up.
You don't have to think about that. He is.
Oh, I like Corey Joseph more than other people. All right. But they upgraded. They upgraded that team. That doesn't, it doesn't mean that they're top six team, but you talk about upgrading that team. And even with that, that weak team that they had, they were, we're talking about, I'm talking about the play-in. I ain't talking about the six seed. I'm talking about the play-in. They're not going to regress to be the Houston Rockets if they brought them back.
But think about it. They upgrade, they upgraded. And then it, let's say it stayed the same. Whoa, our lights just went they upgraded.
You look angelic right now. I can't lie. It looks like the world ended around you and the light is shining solely on Morgan Reagan.
Shine on, Morgan. They upgrade. But what do you think the other teams in the West are going to do? Just stay the same? No, they're upgrading.
The whole premise is if everybody came back the same.
If everyone came back, then you'd probably win like 34 games again. We'd have be having the same conversation. Yeah,
they'd, be better. They'd be a better team because they wouldn't deal for 40 games with Bielitsa and little dog Glenn Robinson the third.
We got to get some upgrades, Kenny. I need you to be more fired up about taking some swings this offseason. They got to upgrade the roster. If you can't, if Rashawn Holmes ends up walking and you're starting the season with like, hey, we got Damian Jones and Nerlens Noel, like, it's going to be a problem.
Kenny, your backyard was fine when you first moved into it. You still upgraded it because it's a lot better. So, you would have been fine with your backyard for a short period of time, which is what that acquisition was after the trade deadline. Now, we need to get better.
They absolutely need to get better. But the players on the roster need to get better. They need to stay healthier. And I'm not advocating for no moves. I'm saying if they didn't make any moves, the expectation, well, they're going to suck this year because they didn't make any moves. No, I think they had enough talent where if they didn't make any moves, I would still expect them to be a playoff team.
Everybody goes into a voice when we like mimic someone, like we go into like some sort of random voice. It's rather funny. With the draft is a week away, free agency's right after that. What's the biggest headline for DMZ here that we're keeping an eye on?
I mean,
that was a great segment, by the way. That might be my new favorite. The DMZ segment is my new favorite.
I could probably have.
You could fire it. Yeah, everyone will hear it.
Where's Chris Paul going to land?
There it is.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably for me, like that's the one I'm so fascinated with, because I think most people assume he's going to end up back in Phoenix. And I think Phoenix still has a chance to come out of the West next year I think Phoenix can still come out of the West next year. Kenny, I don't know if you realize this, Kawhi, he's not playing next year. Jamal Murray's not playing next year.
Jamal Murray playing next year.
Okay. Okay, when's he coming back, Kenny?
He's his doctor. You didn't know?
When's he coming back? The guy tore his ACL late
February or March. He tore his ACL in February.
Okay, so the Nuggets have to get through most of the season without him, and then they're going to come out like Jamal Murray off an ACL late in the year. They're going to make a big run.
All I'm going to tell you, like I tell people with Ben Simmons, you can take Phoenix and look for them to get back to the finals if you want.
I'm not predicting it. I'm just saying, like, I think they've got a chance.
Back to the finals. I don't think they have a chance.
Fine. I'm just saying, again.
It's hot take, Kenny.
It's fine. You can disagree with me. That's fine. I think Ayton could get better. The Paul thing is interesting. I just think he can look at the situation and go, I still see a path that I could get to the finals and make a lot of money. But I definitely think there's going to be that Lakers temptation. I do think, like, he could be like, look, I've made $250 million in my career plus my Cliff Paul money. I've made a lot of money in my life. I can go ahead and go play with LeBron and AD and see what we got. But even the Lakers, like, we love the talent. We love LeBron and AD. And when they're healthy, it looks great. But LeBron's getting older. AD, you can't – he's always hurt. Mm-hmm. So the West, to me, is still a very fascinating subplot. It's like, okay, who is the favorite? I don't know.
Yeah, and I think besides Chris Paul and his future, I would say Kyle Lowry. I just think for him, he can add –
as a veteran point guard, he will add to any squad, right? But then you're seeing these teams, like at the trade deadline this last season, it was the Sixers being really interested in Miami. And so will it be one of the teams that we already heard that was in the mix? I don't know, but I am curious because I think adding him is just an upgrade for any team.
You think Kawhi stays?
I do, especially now with, like, he's going to miss next year. I should ask Dr. Carraway what he thinks about the Kawhi ACL. But based on Kawhi's past, I mean, if he's
ready to come back, I don't think he's going to come back.
No, he will not. We know Kawhi. He's going to he'll sit out that year and make money. But yeah, I think he'll just stay there. I don't know. Like,
I do too.
And I know you have to give him max money. Like, I'm not. But isn't there a part of us that goes, God, look at the games played over the last few years, and this is with load management.
He's great when he's available.
It's risky.
Wow.
My hot take to start the show was I think Chris Paul's going to the Lakers.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even think it's that hot of a take. Yeah, he'd get rid of some money, but there's probably a part of him's like, look, I did everything I could with this team. I helped them a ton. It was fun playing with Monty and Devin Booker. I like it, but man, this is an opportunity. I'm at the end of my career. All right, this is probably my final contract in the NBA here. Why not? I have a chance. I can go play with LeBron. They've got a position.
Get Melo there. Little banana boat action in the Lakers. Next.
Well, yep. It'll be great, and then they could get bounced in like the second round. It'll be great. It would be reminiscent of like Malone and Peyton going to the Lakers back in the day.
Can I just point this out? Because I feel like this gets lost all the time. Carmelo wasn't on the boat. Can we just point that out?
I'm sorry, banana boat crew.
But everybody calls them banana. Like they always reference Carmelo, and Carmelo wasn't on the boat.
I apologize for getting that wrong, but he is with that crew.
He's with the crew. It was.
But he was not on the boat.
He was not on the boat.
Wolfpack.
It was D Wade.
Yes.
Actually, I think it was like Gabrielle Union, and maybe Chris Paul was also on it.
Chris Paul,
but that was the great DeAndre Jordan free agency emoji off on Twitter. That might have been the unofficial birth of NBA Twitter. Deuce and Mo, we could keep you here all day, and soon enough, we plan to.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.